The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Shatters, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, I'm working my way through this song here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starr's radio program. Happy to have you with us, wherever you may be listening across America. So, I have been getting a lot of panicked messages over the past 72 hours, and I'm going to do my best here to calm everybody down and to bring everybody back from the edge of the cliff. I'm getting these messages. Todd, have you seen the polling data? It's over. Have you seen how many people turned out for the Kamala Harris rally in Atlanta? It's over. It's over. We're doomed. Ladies and gentlemen, calm yourself. It's not over just yet. And we're going to walk through this. We're going to talk through it today. I'm going to share some hard truths with you that other conservative talk radio hosts are literally terrified to bring up. But first, I've got to work through this Megan the Stallion. And I don't know if Dieter is anywhere in the news bunker. Let's get him in the studio because I need Dieter to help me out here. He's a Gen Zer, and Megan Thee Stallion literally sang a song that we're not allowed to repeat. As a matter of fact, if I were to read the actual lyrics without bleeping myself, we would be canceling everybody within a 5-mile radius of the news bunker. It's really that offensive. The name of the song that Megan Thee, is it Megan Thee or Megan The? It's the Stallion. Oh, it's Charlemagne the God, and it's Megan the Stallion. And it's with two E's.
Yeah.
Megan the Stallion. So she's implying that she's a horse.
But you have to say, here's the deal, Todd. I don't want to, I guess, Gen Z explain to you, but it's Megan the Stallion.
Megan the Stallion. Megan the Stallion.
You're not reading the Ten Commandments. It's Megan Thee Stallion.
All right. Real hot girl blank. Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy. Yaddy, 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 yaddy. Bwah. Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy. Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy. Body crazy, curvy, wavy, big. Whoa, can't say that word on radio. Little waist. Yeah, yeah. Oh, little waist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is the Kamala Harris theme song.
Walkout music.
Wow. So Megan Thee Stallion. Megan. So anyway, she was... She was performing in Atlanta yesterday, and this was all part of the big Kamala Harris launch party. And cut number four, please.
Now, I know my ladies in the crowd love their body.
Real hot girl.
Ooh, I love my body.
And if you want to keep loving your body, you know who to vote for.
I won't keep you, Donald Trump.
Hey, hey.
Oh, that's it. Adi, 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 adi. Oh, I could do this. Is that all you need to do to get a record
body
contract
crazy,
these days?
Yeah, yeah. Body crazy, curvy, crazy.
Oh, thank you.
The Todd Starnes audience is beating around in their car.
Well, this is all fascinating. Oh, she mentions barbecue, and I guess she likes baby back ribs, apparently.
You don't want to read that in its entirety, Todd.
I'm a dry rub guy, so I'm not real big. She's a saucy person, apparently. She likes her barbecue sauce or something. I may be misinterpreting that. Anyway, so this was the big event last night, Dieter, and people are really freaking up because there were thousands and thousands of folks there, but I don't think they were there to see Kamala Harris.
No, because there's video capturing as soon as Megan Thee Stallion left the stage, so did half the audience. That's never good.
That is not good. And there is video showing the crowds leaving. So, but But a lot of people are really concerned, and we're going to try to help everybody work through this. And I get it, because the polls have been super great for Donald Trump for weeks now, and all of a sudden they're not. And again, the polls giveth, the polls taketh away. So this is not a surprise. This is a honeymoon period, and there's going to be another honeymoon period when she picks the VP, which is coming up next week. And then you've got the convention, so she's going to get another honeymoon period. And that is just the nature of the game. That's how the game is played.
Todd, I'm one of the people freaking out this morning.
Why are you freaking out? Talk to me, Ben Dear. I want to help
you. I'm in distress.
Why
I'm beside myself. I saw the morning consult poll. I saw the crowds. I saw Megan Thee Stallion. Beyonce also is providing music for her. Cardi B's in the tank for for Kamala Harris. At some point, Taylor Swift is going to bring Kamala Harris on one of her Eras tours. And I'm scared that it is actually going to translate into votes. Do you think?
Calm me down. I don't think so. I don't think that these people are going to get out and vote, the Gen Zers that are showing up at these concerts. Now, I don't want to alarm people, but this is going to happen. And just be prepared. Taylor Swift will end up hosting some sort of a concert event for Kamala Harris. And that's going to freak everybody out. There'll be 100,000 screaming women and gay people, and they're going to be all over, and they're like, it's over. Oh, we've lost the gays. No, calm yourself. This is all, look, I told you that we were entering a time when it was going to be a little weird, but I believe we're going to come out on the other side. The concern that a lot of people have is the vice presidential running mate, J.D. Vance. And we're going to talk about some of the issues with J.D. And I still think that he can be a help to Donald Trump. But I do wonder if maybe Team Trump, and we heard this in the private audio, Ben, that was recorded in the fundraising thing, where J.D. Vance says the campaign got sucker punched, that the campaign was not expecting Kamala Harris to enter the race, that they were expecting Joe Biden to be the guy. And if that's the case, I would be asking the question internally, okay, was J.D. Vance the right pick? Because everybody voting for J.D. Vance is already voting for Donald Trump. So what new voters is J.D. Vance bringing to the table? And if Kamala Harris goes with Josh Shapiro, you're from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. He's a very popular governor there.
Surprisingly, the people love him there. And he's a lefty, but well-spoken lefty.
For whatever reason, they love the guy. He polls very well. He wins. And that could be problematic. So you have to ask yourself, if they had not been sucker punched, if the campaign had known all of this in advance, would they have gone with J.D. Vance, or would they have gone with someone like a Nikki Haley, who is despised by conservatives? But again, those conservatives are still going to vote for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. If Donald Trump would have picked Nikki Haley, I think there would have been anger on the conservative side of the aisle, but that would not have kept people home on election day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would have added and unified the party. I'm not sure that J.D. Vance pick unified the party. I think it was an up yours to the establishment, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Does J.D. bring the energy? That's something that I've noticed in some of these rallies, and I know you've been covering it.
He's new at all of this, and that's the challenge here. He could end up being the next Donald Trump, but it's going to take some time. You know, he's 39 years old, about to turn 40, and it's tough. The problem is he said a lot of stuff that's controversial. And a lot of it makes sense. Some of it doesn't. I don't understand some of the stuff he's talking about. But the reality is he has to go out there and he has to explain all of it. And the problem is when you do that, you lose the narrative. It's already over.
So your hypothesis, if I'm understanding correct, is if we would have understood that Kamala was going to be at the top of their ticket, they would have thought twice, possibly, about J.D. as VP.
I think they would, and I'll open it up to the audience, because I think if they would have known, they probably would have gone with either a Nikki Haley or Tulsi Gabbard or a Byron Donalds or someone who could bring, quite frankly, diversity to the ticket. But again, they picked J.D. Vance because they need the Rust Belt voters. But if they've got on the Democrat side a very popular Democrat governor of a Rust Belt state, that could backfire. So it's going to be tough, and we've got to fight. This is an election where you literally have to fight for every single vote. But again, I'm saying ignore the polling data right now. You can't, we're going to go through it. But again, I think at this stage of the game, these polls are unfair because Kamala Harris is in her honeymoon period.
And you're also saying be cautious of celebrity endorsements?
Big time. Look, okay. And understand this. Yesterday, I'd be willing to wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich that most of the people in that room were there for Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Well,
the artist.
And I know what some of my peers are saying on my side. Where are celebrities? We've got Amber Rose. They've got Beyonce.
God, we have Lee Greenwood. Look, here's the deal. But this is the difference. They showed up for Megan Thee Stallion yesterday in Atlanta. Today in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, we've got tens of thousands of people already waiting in line to see Donald Trump. So it's not about the celebrity. Keep in mind, and there's a great photo circulating on social media of Hillary Clinton. She had all of the celebrities were coming out for Hillary. Remember, you had Beyonce,
Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay Diddy. That's P. Diddy. It's Jay-Z, P. Diddy. My apologies. I don't know this. give me some Winona and some Hank and throw in some Reba. I'm good. So they had before the election, tens of thousands of people at this Hillary concert thing, and she ended up losing. So again, I don't think it's about the celebrity. It's about the politician. And I'm not sure that worked, but we'll see.
Oh, the other thing, can I add this?
Sure.
Guess what I realized yesterday? Those camera tripods, they can swivel and they can show crowd size. I mean, those cameras, the mainstream media, they were doing spins of that room. I mean, it was wild footage. And I only thought, because I watched Trump rallies, that they only lock into one shot. The frame is on the president and the president's podium.
That is a great observation, Ben Dieter, because that's been the complaint from Trump from day one, is that the media would not show, and they still will not show, the crowds.
Not even the conservative networks half the time.
And somebody pointed this out, and it's a fair observation, that the only time they did show those crowds and the only time they did swivel those cameras is when Trump got shot. Then all of a sudden we saw everything, which tells me we could have seen everything all along. You're absolutely right. That is a great observation.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Gold star for you, Ben Dieter.
All right.
Ben Dieter, thank you very much. Appreciate your observations. Thanks for coming in and helping.
Great job on the raft ride.
I'm working on it.
We'll have to get you some paraphernalia, get you into character.
Saucy like a barbecue, but you won't get your baby back. So that implies the baby went away somewhere, or... Oh, no, that's not what that means. Whoops. Okay. Better stop there. All right. We're going to be taking your calls. Do you have concerns? Are you focused? Do you believe Trump has this? We're taking your calls. If you're concerned, I'm going to help you work through it today, folks. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. Today, you have the power to relieve suffering for children throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, these are children who do not have reliable access to the essentials of life, like food or clean water. But today, you can change that. I'm partnering with Food for the Poor to rush emergency food relief to hungry children and to provide a community with access to water. Now, this is a headline that you can do something about. Today, because of a match, your generous gift of $200 provides 4 children with a year's worth of food and helps a community gain access to fresh water. There are several ways to make your gift. Go to ToddStearns.com and click on the red Give Life banner, or you can call my toll-free number at 855-353-4673. That's ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Give Life banner or call my toll-free number, 855-353-HOPE. So all that to say, and I appreciate Dieter coming in, and he is a rock-solid Gen Z conservative, and he has good insight into all of this. But folks, don't panic just yet about any of the polling data. They skew these things to make Trump look bad, and we know they've been building him up, and we knew this was going to happen. So don't panic about that. But I will say this. I am a little concerned about the people surrounding Trump. And there's the news coming out of the Heritage Foundation is that the guy in charge of Project 25 is leaving. The poor guy, and these are all good, solid, rock solid conservative people. Project 25 has been around for years, predating Donald Trump. These are all people, by the way, who used to work for Donald Trump in one way or the other. And the whole point of Project 25 is to fix what is broken in Washington, D.C. And I'm not going to get into the nuance of policies. There are some things I agree with in Heritage. There are some things I don't. And that's the way it is with anything. But the way the Trump campaign threw them under the bus, and the only reason they did that is that the mainstream media was targeting Project 25, and they were using that as a baseball bat over Donald Trump. It just seems to me, when you've got your friends and they're under attack in the media, you stand alongside your friends. You don't alienate your friends. And this is a concern, and hear me on this. There have been two major faux pas here. One of them was the handling of evangelical Christians and the party platform. And that party platform and the way that they treated the Christians in that room is reprehensible. It's something you would expect Democrats to do, not Republicans. So the issue is not, and again, I've heard this from campaign people. Well, who else are they going to vote for? Who else are they going to vote for? Well, of course they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And that's the thing. They're taking their votes for granted. But what could happen is those evangelical Christians could say, you know what? It's really not worth it. We busted our butt. We caught holy you-know-what for years for backing Trump and his campaign, and this is the thanks we get for that? We got shoved outside the tent? Really? I think I'm just going to stay home in November. There is a concern that could happen. And again, it's an unforced error. Why would you do that? And the reason, and I get it, the political reason is when they come after Trump and they say, oh, well, the Republicans are pro-life. And now the Republicans can say, no, we're not. No, we're not. Here's our party platform. Show us in our party platform where it says we're pro-life. That's why they did what they did. But it's not going to make any difference. The media is still going to call them pro-lifers. So, again, it was an unforced error. That's all. But this Project 25 thing, it makes no sense at all. We want Project 20. We need to have a plan going in. Let's say Trump wins. If we really want to clean out the swamp, what Project 25 was doing, what the Heritage Foundation was doing, is that they were putting together the plan. Their mistake was announcing they had a plan. They should have kept it quiet. So on election day, you go in there and you start cleaning house. Because if we really want to clean up the deep state, if we want to clean out the swamp, we're going to have a plan of action. And Project 25 was that plan of action. And man, they're treating them like, I don't know, pariahs. I've never seen anything like this. So all I'm saying here is that we all need to be working together. We cannot afford, the margins are so small. We cannot afford to have mistakes. We just can't do it. And I know that's going to anger some people on the campaign, and I don't mean for anybody to be angered. I'm just saying, we've got to focus here. We can't be fighting each other. And we can't be throwing away people that have been so loyal to the Trump campaign. Because we all have skin in the game. That's what I'm saying here. We all have skin in the game. I mean, you've got the log cabin Republicans out there, and they're basically saying, well, we put the Christians in their place in the Republican Party, to the back of the bus with you Christians. Well, you know what? We're all on the same bus. We're all in the same tent. We need everybody. I've been preaching that for years. But if we've reached a point now where we don't want conservatives like the Heritage Foundation and we don't want evangelical Christians to be in the Republican Party, I got some news for you, folks. You're going to lose your elections. It really is that simple. So we've all got to focus. We've all got to unite together and stop this petty bickering. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. So, again, I just want to reiterate here, folks, we're shooting inside the tent, and there doesn't need to be any shooting inside the tent. So the Trump campaign released a statement on Project 2025. And again, here's the thing. If the Trump campaign is now saying we don't want pro-lifers, we don't want religious conservatives, we don't want the Heritage Foundation conservatives, okay, but it seems to me you would want all of those folks. That's the freaking base of the party here, for crying out loud. So who's, and I don't think Donald Trump is behind any of this. So I want to read a statement from the Trump-Vance campaign, and this is from Susie Wiles and Chris LaSavidia. And these were the folks that were behind the party platform debacle. And this is what they posted. They released a statement last night. President Trump's campaign has been very clear for over a year that Project 2025 has nothing to do with the campaign, did not speak for the campaign, and should not be associated with the campaign or the president in any way. Reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed. What? And this is what gets me. And now the campaign is threatening all of you conservatives out there. I want you to listen to this. Reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed and should serve as notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well for you. There you go. So the messaging here is shut up and cast your vote. We don't want anything else to do with you. Shut up and cast your vote. I am telling you, this is very bad messaging here. When you are threatening the very base of the Republican Party. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Kim in Georgia, WDUN. Ah, we just lost Kim. All right, my apologies. Kim, give us a call back. Again, 901-260-5926. All right, I want to play some audio here. Kamala Harris seems to have developed a rather bizarre condition. You know how a lot of people can now self-identify? So I think you had they call it Rachel Dolezal syndrome, where you can identify as a black person if you're a white person. Well, Kamala Harris has a unique issue where now her own voice can actually self-identify. So, for example, when she's talking to drag queens in Hollywood, she sounds whiter than I am. But yesterday in Atlanta, this is what she sounded like. Cut three.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
I want me some collard greens and some fried chicken. Somebody give me some fried chicken. What was that? What was that? I mean, first of all, if you've been in Atlanta, you know most people in Atlanta don't even talk like that. What is she trying to do here? So she's got the Hillary Clinton problem where she's trying to pretend to be black, right? She's putting on a fake voice. This is nothing more than Kamala Harris in blackface or black voice. What are we going to, we have to coin a new phrase here. That's crazy. By the way, CNN, I told you. Now, before we play this audio, I just want to say I told you so. I told you that there was going to be a time when white men would not be able to run for office as Democrats. And we certainly saw that on the presidential side. There's no way they're going to allow a white guy to run for president on the Democrat side of the aisle. Those days are over. So now the white guys have been relegated to VP, possible VP contenders. But even then, that could be a problem. CNN had Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, on, and here's how that conversation went down.
All of them are white men. Most of them are Democratic governors. You are a very prominent, very well-known and respected Democratic governor yourself. Does it bother you that they're all white men?
No, not at all, because I don't want to look at gender here. I really don't think it's fair because we have a lot of talented women governors. I text them all the time. The men are very talented. So that's the beauty of what we have here is that we have a lot of talent. So I'm not going to take offense that she doesn't pick a woman or a person, you know, from some particular state at all. Whoever she picks, it's going to be a dynamic duel. No doubt about it. And the energy that you see already out there for Vice President Harris, that'll be amplified when you have a new voice out there, you know, showing a positive vision for the future, but also taking the hits that they need to take on the other side. I mean, they can't get away with the crazy talk that they're saying right now. And another partner for her on the campaign trail is going to be powerful. So it's going to be fun to see who she picks. I want to use the word fun again. When you see Kamala Harris on the trail, she looks so genuinely happy. There's this ebullience about her. There's this, people talk about the energy. Energy is powerful, but there's a joyfulness. And that has been missing in our American politics for a long time. You look at Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, they kind of take you down, right? I mean, they don't bring joy and happiness to the process. And she seems so confident. She's out there just telling stories. She's being herself. And people, as they get to know her day after day after day, she's going to be winning more and more people over to her side and ensuring that she's victorious in November. So this is an amazing process.
All right. So there you go. They're playing race and identity politics all over the place. That's why they're doing these segregated phone calls. Nobody's called them out on this. Imagine for just a moment if Trump was intentionally doing segregated meetings, white dudes for Trump. They would be portraying those guys as members of the KKK. But when it's white dudes for Kamala, well, that's okay. By the way, there was another time, I believe, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when white Democrats would segregate themselves and get together and ride around in pickup trucks and burn crosses in the front yards of black people. I do remember those days. Mm-hmm, sure do. Democrats. All right, so we've got to take a quick break here. And again, my question is, is the campaign doing the right thing here? Is Trump doing the right thing by breaking with the Heritage Foundation and the evangelicals out there? Is that the right play here? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
All Yeah, I do think that in a way, Kamala is Obama in a skirt. Of course, Obama may be Obama in a skirt. But anyway, I think she may be worse than Obama, though. When you look at Kamala Harris's background and her family and her upbringing, I think Kamala Harris is to the left of Barack Hussein Obama. Obama's in it for the money. I get it. But I think Kamala's in it for something else, and it's not good. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Kim in Georgia. Hi, Kim. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thanks so much. We love and appreciate you in Georgia. Thank you. Yes, I agree with everything you've said the past few moments. On the Project 2025, I have to confess, I'm a conservative Christian. I don't know all the details in that document, and I'm not sure President Trump does because he was pretty dismissive of it and trying to separate himself. But I do want to say this. The mature Christian base is pretty smart, and they are going to vote. They realize that this is a critical, critical race. This is pivotal for our country, and I think they're going to vote. What we are witnessing just recently with the announcement of Kamala Harris is President Trump, in his speeches, his responses, in his interview with Laura Ingraham this week, his inflection and his temper, we're seeing him lose his temper a little bit in discussing her and the personal attacks in the rallies. That has to stop. I called into your show not long ago before the debate and talked about command speech. He cannot get in the gutter with these people and must remember what population he's trying to draw in, and that's the independent, not the MAGA. He's got to remember to refrain from personal attacks. That's what turns those independents off. Kamala's camp has studied him, has studied his speech, his personality, and they're baiting him, and he's falling for it. That could lose this election because it turns people off when he loses his temper. He's got to remain calm. And I'd like to add this, Todd. I would recommend, and I wish that the Fox News friends would announce this or his campaign advisors, please don't accept a debate with her unless it's on your terms this time. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Let's take turns. Let's let the Republican side make a few rules or set boundaries this time with their pick of the moderators and where it is.
Well, I think now that we, you know, now in hindsight, we now understand that the debate was meant to force Joe Biden out, right? This was, they set all the rules. So they're the ones that put Joe Biden in a situation where they knew that he would fail because they needed him out. And I'm with you on this, Kim. I think that Trump has to set all the ground rules. And if it was my preference, no debates at all. Because, again, we still don't even know if Kamala is going to be the nominee. I would at least wait until after the Democrats meet in Chicago before they make any decisions about debates. I would definitely do that.
Right.
All right.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
When I called in last time, we were talking about the U.S. Postal Service in Georgia being paralyzed and a real problem. And some people feel like, you know, okay, it's a conspiracy. It's an election halter. I don't know. I just know our governor has attacked that problem. But I do not want the conservative news syndicates, and that's Fox, telling people to mail their ballots because we still have a problem. I feel like mailed-in ballots are going to get lost in Georgia. I can't speak for other states, but it's a problem.
Well, and that's good to know, Kim. I believe in-person voting, unless, you know, you're in a nursing home somewhere or you're completely incapacitated, that's a way to do it. And I also believe in paper ballots. So I want to be able to fill that thing out myself.
Sounds good.
Kim, thank you for that. All right. Got some mail here. This is from Gary. Todd, you're making this worse for Republicans. Get off the 2025 issue. Trump said himself that he didn't even know what it was in the document. It's not his platform. You are hurting Trump, not helping him. Is that true? And how he didn't explain how I was hurting Trump here. Gary, how am I hurting Trump?
I'm just saying we need a big tent Republican Party to win, and we need to make sure that we're not taking off people that normally are going to be supportive of President Trump and his agenda. That's all I'm saying here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, folks, we are on day three of our big campaign to raise money for our friends at Food for the Poor. This is a nonprofit Christian relief agency. Now, most of our kids or grandkids have complained at one time or another, I'm starving. There's nothing to eat. But in at least 17 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, the price of available food is skyrocketing, and many families are literally starving. They're trying to survive on just basically $2 a day. And more often than not, Food for the Poor is finding that parents and grandparents are losing the battle to feed their children.
We have been to homes where all the child is crying for is a tortilla. Mi tortillita, mami, mi tortillita. And the mother does not have it. When they hear those cries for hunger that must break their hearts, to say to them, we cannot feed you now, maybe tomorrow.
It's just unbelievable, folks. And imagine having to tell your children that they're going to have to wait until tomorrow to eat. And that's why there is a Give Life banner up right now at ToddStearns.com where you can make a donation. You can also text my name, Todd, to 51555. That's Todd to 51555. And I will send you a link to where you can make a generous gift. And together we can help these precious children, the poorest of the poor, get good food and clean drinking water. Your gift of any amount brings hope to children. And again, you can go to ToddStearns.com, click on the Give Life banner, or you can phone your donation to 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. And remember, you can also text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555 for a link to help my friends at Food for the Poor. All right, let's go to Larry in Oregon, KYKN. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Good morning. Hey, real quick, I agree with whoever's putting this out with President Trump's policies or platform. We do not need activists or people that want to kind of take over the platform. I am a conservative, born-again Christian. But I do not. I want President Trump elected, and I realize that my party isn't my morality or Christian belief system. I have that on my own. But the Republican Party stands or gives me the best chance of living a better life in America, and that's what I want to support. I do not want to have my own platform and try to have President Trump adopt it or make it a scenario that will be in the national spotlight. I want him elected. So whatever we need to do for President Trump to be elected is what we need to do.
So if that means taking everything about God, everything out of everything about the pro-life issues, everything to do with religious liberty, if we have to take that out of the platform to get Trump across the finish line, you're good with that.
Well, Larry, no, that's not what I said. I didn't say, here's what we don't want to do. I do not want to have, if you look at the other side, mirror image, right, the Democrats, where is Kamala's biggest hang-up, right? The Republicans are going to try to hang, which true, right, hang all of her far-left, which they already are, policies. They're trying to pin them on it, right? Well, hey, why do we have to add to that? If President Trump is either he is a believer, we know what he's done so far with the Supreme Court. We have a track record, correct? I'm just saying, let's not make it center spotlight of what we're running on. I don't understand. Can't we? Why does that have to be? Why does that have to be a thing? I don't understand it. Make him have his platform. He stands for secure borders. He stands for a strong foreign policy. All those things, and a more of a conservative outlook. Why can't we just run on those things and leave it like that?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question you raise, Larry. But again, why would you jettison things that have won elections since, you know, Ronald Reagan was in office? And I think one of the, you know, going back to the 1970s, it's pretty darn clear that it had it not been for the evangelical Christians coming in, that Ronald Reagan would not have won that election cycle.
But Todd, can I make a point here? Here's the deal. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. A more conservative outlook. We don't need to stand for transgenderism. We do not need to make that a...
All right. I hear you, Larry. I got to run, my friend. We are super late for a break here. Folks, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starts.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, President Trump right now, the motorcade en route. The president is speaking at a huge gathering of black journalists, and we're going to be keeping our eyes on this conversation. It's going to be pretty remarkable. Again, kudos to President Trump for getting out there and for meeting with groups that Republicans traditionally do not meet with. Now, I want to go back to something that happened in the last hour. I mentioned to you that there was a listener who was very upset with me and accused me of attacking President Trump. And I want to set the context for you. So yesterday, the Trump campaign released a statement. I'm going to read the statement. Todd Starnes didn't write this statement, but the mere fact that I am about to read this statement is angering Trump supporters. And I happen to be a Trump supporter, by the way. And this is what the campaign wrote. President Trump's campaign has been very clear for over a year that Project 2025 had nothing to do with the campaign, did not speak for the campaign, and should not be associated with the campaign or the president in any way. Reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed and should serve as notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well with you. Those are the campaign's words. And so now I'm coming under attack, and that's fine. That's what I'm here for. Gary writing in and said, Todd, you are making this worse for Republicans. So how am I making this worse for Republicans? I'm not the guy who wrote that statement. The Trump campaign did. Not President Trump, but the campaign wrote that statement. Get off the 2025 issue. Trump said himself he didn't even know what was in the document. It's not in his platform. You are hurting Trump, not helping him. You are hurting him by accusing Trump of pushing the 2025 project aside and throwing them under the bus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what that statement just did. Not yours truly. Come on. That was a negative attack on Trump. Words mean a lot, and we have to be careful what we say. And yes, we need to broaden our base. As a former educator of 43 years, I agree with your last caller. The name calling has to stop. Thanks for listening. All right. Yes, I agree the name calling has to stop. I'm just saying the Trump campaign needs to stop calling people names
and stop attacking good and faithful and loyal conservatives. That's all I'm saying. Ah, geez, hello. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Henry Rogers joins us from the Daily Caller, their chief national correspondent. Henry, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me. Always appreciate it.
So you have a brand new piece up. Here's the headline, folks. Trump campaign's simple plan to destroy Kamala Harris, get her off script. You know, Henry, I think it's worth pointing out here that since she announced that she's running for the White House, she has yet to sit down for a single interview, nor has she held a single press conference.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely something that should be pointed out. And it's pretty crazy that the mainstream media is letting her get away with that. But as the piece states, I mean, this is kind of what we expected. I think she's kind of try to do a Biden kind of basement type campaign where she doesn't have to speak much. And if she does have to speak, it's going to be, with a teleprompter. So she can't have any of those awkward gaffes or just say completely false statements like she always does. So that's really what the Trump campaign is hoping that she will do is get out there and do more off script interviews and get out there and go to do rallies. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like she's going to be doing that or that she even needs to do that right now. So it'll be interesting to watch the polling and all that. And also it'll be interesting to see who she picks as vice president. But at the end of the day, if she just, sticks on script, it's going to be a lot easier for her to win.
Well, she's out there taunting President Trump over this debate. I think Trump is smart here. First of all, we don't know that she's going to be the nominee. Second of all, we need to, at least for one debate, the Republicans need to be able to set the ground rules here.
I agree completely. And I think that's kind of what, a couple of Trump advisors were telling me, is that this is kind of like the game before the game. They were trying to see if they could get out of the ABC one and do a Fox News interview, because that would be probably more fair, obviously, to him. And I don't know where that's going to go, but what I do know is what's going to happen is Trump needs to debate her as soon as possible so that we can get more of those off-script moments, so that he can hit her for her radical, her radical agenda and for all the insane things that she said over these years. Because, people who aren't on social media aren't seeing a lot of this right now, but they're unburying all these insane clips from Kamala Harris in the last 4 years. And, it's just shocking to see. So I think that the Trump campaign should be trying to debate her immediately. I think they should be trying to debate her as soon as possible. So whatever it is, whoever hosts it, I think it will probably still play favorably to Donald Trump, as long as he gets her on stage and hammers her for her radical agenda.
And it is a radical agenda. Again, this can't be overstated that she is or was the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate, to the left of Bernie Sanders. Now, all of a sudden, that information has been scrubbed from the website. And that's troubling, Henry, that the media is actually going in and they're literally removing, whitewashing anything that might reflect negatively on Kamala Harris.
Right. And I mean, she even, called for donations for the Minnesota Fund to, which let out like rapists, murderers, like real, real hard criminals, people who raped 13-year-old boys. It's disgusting, the people that they let out. And she still has that up on her on actblue.com and also on her social media pages. She still has the fundraising for that group up. So these issues need to be hit harder by conservative media, and the mainstream media honestly needs to do a better job of calling it out too, but we know that's not going to happen because it wouldn't fit their narrative. Overall, Kamala Harris is the most radical person who could become president, I think, right now. It's terrifying to think about, but the more the people find out about her, I think the more, just like they did in 2020, the more they find out about her,
the more the people are going to realize that she's way too liberal to be president of the United States.
Big time. And I want to play some audio here. This is Kamala Harris bragging about her work to make sure that every transgender inmate in the California prison system had access to gender reassignment surgeries paid for by the tax dollars, by our tax dollars. Cut number 12, please.
When I was Attorney General, I learned that the California Department of Corrections, which was a client of mine, I didn't get to choose my clients.
Right, a client of the Attorney General.
A client of the Attorney General, right. Of the Office of Attorney General, that they were standing in the way of surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. And there was a specific case. And when I learned about the case, I worked behind the scenes to not only make sure that that transgender woman got the services she was deserving. So it wasn't only about that case. I made sure that they changed the policy in the state of California so that every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access to the medical care that they desired and need. And I believe it was not only, I know it was historic in California, but I believe actually it may have been one of the first, if not the first in the country, where I pushed for that policy in a Department of Corrections.
All right, there you go, Henry. Most Americans can't afford to put food on the table right now, but by golly, your tax money is going to go to transgender reassignment surgeries.
I mean, it's almost like that was out of like a South Park skit or something. I just can't even believe that's real, you know? A lot of the things she says are just unbelievable, and I can't even believe that she said them. And the fact that that is something that we are even talking about or worried about in the first place is just insane and shows you how screwed up the Democratic Party is in general right now. Prison transgender surgeries, what are we even talking about? We have a failed country right now. We are going through a very rough time economically. Crime is insane. Our border is still being flooded. There are some real important issues going on here right now, but we're worried about that. It's a real problem. And I think the more that American people hear that, regardless of left or right, they're going to be like, this is just too much. This is insane, because it really is. It's crazy. It's insane.
And Henry, you know this. It's the polls just cannot be trusted right now. You've got Kamala coming off this honeymoon period. There's going to be another right. honeymoon when she announces her VP, and we understand that's going to be, what, next Tuesday? And then there's going to be another honeymoon period when the Democrats, you know, hold their convention. So right now, I just think we have to step back and make sure that Team Trump is doing everything they need to be doing. And let's see what this race looks like in mid to late September.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this honeymoon phase, just like you said, is going to drag out as long as possible. And until they get her on a debate stage or, you know, get her to do some off script remarks, it's going to be honeymoon. And they're like, oh, you know, this is the new face. This is, you know, going to be the future of our party. This is going to be great. You know, buckle up. It's going to be an interesting ride here. But it's a shame because the media is just doing such a disservice to this country and not holding her accountable.
You know, I know a lot of people, and we'll have to ramp this up, Henry, but a lot of people haven't done a deep dive into her parents. And the father really concerns me. This guy is a radical Marxist, and so much so that even Stanford University was hesitant about giving him tenure because of his radical positions. And I just wonder how much of that influenced her, for, you know, just as Barack Obama's father influenced him with all that anti-colonialism nonsense.
It's a really great question, and it's a question that she should be asked. And I hope that someone does ask her that. And, yeah, you're right. That's an issue that should be pointed out and highlighted way more.
All right. Henry, good job there on that story. Folks, got to read it. It is a great read. Trump's campaign's simple plan to destroy Kamala Harris. Get her off script. You can read it at dailycaller.com. Henry, appreciate you coming on today.
Todd, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
All right. By the way, we had a great, great show last night. 8 o'clock, Prime News. Very honored to guest host. And Bill O'Reilly was on the show, weighing in on the white dudes controversy. Also, we had our very own Ben Dieter. He went toe-to-toe and just crushed a Democrat operative. That was embarrassing. I've never seen anything like it. But well done, Dieter. Also, Congressman Michael Waltz, a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, or anti-assassination. assassination attempt task force on Capitol Hill. So a lot going on. You know, it's interesting. I asked him point blank, are you in a position now where you can say that this was not some sort of a plot against President Trump? And Walt said he was not in a position to say that right now. Just something to think about. By the way, tonight's rally in Harrisburg, PA, it will be an outdoor event. President Trump on his way now to speak to black journalists at their big convention. We're going to be following that story as well. Real quick, let's go to the phones. Bob in North Carolina wants to weigh in. Hi, Bob. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. First of all, I'm not calling to attack you. We love your show, and thank you for what you do. I had called about something else and heard about the Project 2025 talk, and I just would like, if you don't mind, to please tell us what the correlation is between rejecting 2025 and rejecting God or Christianity or conservatism. I think that's a huge stretch. I don't understand. You know, Project 2025 is not the keeper of God, so I don't understand where that correlation lies. Could you please explain that to us?
Oh, sure, happy to do it, Bob. And no, that has nothing to do with the God part of it. That's the party platform, the Republican Party platform, where a lot of Christian language was removed from the platform. The specificities about the pro-life movement were completely removed from the platform, as was the official definition of marriage as being between one man and one woman. All of that, after years and years, decades of being in the party platform, all of that language was literally removed from the platform. So there are really two issues. One is Project 2025, and the other is what happened at the party platform.
Right. I about those things, you know, I'm for those things.
Me too.
But I kind of feel like we have to choose our battles, and we kind of have already won those fights, and so we need to get independence in, and so maybe that's their thinking.
Tony Perkins. Yeah, hold on 1 second, Bob. To give you an example, Tony Perkins, who actually serves on the platform committee. Our good friend from Family Research Council. In 2016, there were 15 substantial references to God in the Republican Party platform. The brand new platform, there are only two passing references. One of those would be God-given, and that's where it stands. So, again, if you are a person of faith, your question would be, all right, well, what was the problem here? Why are we removing all of this stuff?
Well, if nothing else, I think everybody can take heart in the fact that Donald Trump has learned that God's in charge no matter what.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, Bob. All I'm trying to say is, you know, again, you see potential problems coming, and I'm just raising concerns here. And by the way, the way they handle that party platform, I am telling you, I know a number of people that were in that room, and they came out ashen. I mean, they felt like they were dealt with by brown shirts. That's how one person literally described it. And these are very good, kind, decent people, and they feel like they were really screwed over. So I'm with you, Bob. And again, if you want to call in and yell at me, I'm happy to do that. I appreciate your kind words. That's not the issue. You know, I think we just need to make sure that we are not creating problems for ourselves unnecessarily. Bob, I got to run. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
I want our peoples. We've got David and Jamal and Gary. You guys hang tight. I want to get to your calls, but we don't have a lot of time before we have to break here. I've been talking too much today. I know that's hard to believe, a talk radio host who talks too much, but I got a lot to say. By the way, we're getting some intel. President Trump in Chicago, and he's going to be speaking any moment now to the National Association of Black Journalists. And the images are just remarkable. There is a line as far as you can see of black journalists trying to get into the room to see and to hear from President Trump. It's going to be a conversation. So they're going to Harris Faulkner is going to be one of the folks asking questions from Fox. It'll be a really good back and forth. What I find interesting here is that Kamala Harris was invited to attend as well, and she turned him down. She refused to meet with the black journalist, but Donald Trump, he's there in person. I'm just telling you, folks. There you go. All right, 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We are monitoring President Trump and the conversation that he's having over at the National Association of Black Journalists. So, Dylan, just give us a heads up whenever the president comes out to speak. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Say hello to our good friend. He's a great American patriot over at Liberty University, the Vice Provost for Engagement and PR, our good buddy Dave Bratt. Dave, how's it going today?
Hey, Todd, I got a promotion since last time. I'm now Senior Vice President for Business Relations because I just hit 60.
Wow. Well, happy birthday to you. And
Thank you.
Do you get a special parking spot closer to the door? So what's?
Yeah. It's elderly accessible.
I love it. Dave, a lot going on. And The big question, I'm getting a lot of concerns from people about the polling data. And I've been trying to tell people, folks, you can't be looking at the polls right now. They're going to be all over the place because of the honeymoon period.
Yeah, and I think that's right. Kamala, if you just look, right, at the big three issues in the Trump campaign, the RNC platform, Bannon's war room, the grassroots, the stuff you talk about every day. It's just the big three. It's the border invasion, and then it's the endless spending on the deep state and administrative state, and then it's the endless wars. And so what are her positions on all three of those major issues? And it's, I mean, you know, all political views are my own, but just objectively, she was the border czar and 14 million people got in illegally. In crimes and fentanyl, killing more people than some wars we've been in. And then the spending, show me any instance you can of a spending reduction proposed by the left. I think the Babylon Bee posted that the other day. Kamala Harris proposes a balanced budget, and it was like a joke, right? It was like, just kidding. And then the wars, right? Where is she at? And on Israel, it's awful. And so I think you're right. Right now, it's a lot of noise. They're hyped after Biden. You know, they put the afterburners on, right, to whoop up some fundraising and get people on board. But there's a month of now people are going to find out her track record back in California, the votes. And, I mean, left doesn't begin to describe her track record. And so, yeah, I think the polling will turn around. And I'm just worried that they get rid of her and put in somebody else at the convention. Who knows? Anybody that would consider voting for a party that did what they just did to you, right? They just coronated Kamala Harris to be president with no elector, right? When she was in the presidential debates, no one voted for her. You know, I haven't heard many people bring up that obvious point. When she competed for the position, she got zip. And so, yeah, I think, you know, once she starts speaking, explaining her positions, things will turn around.
So I thought the person that's really giving us some great insight into all of this is Seymour Hersh, who is the far left reporter. And of course, he did this big expose and he's got the sources. So I would be prone to believe what he's writing here. But what I find, to your point, the other part of the story that did not get a lot of attention, first of all, the first part, ladies and gentlemen, is that it was Barack Obama who made the call to Joe and said, you're going to step aside or Kamala is prepared to go to the cabinet and invoke the 25th. But the other part of that is Kamala was warned that if her numbers start going south, she's going to be on the out, too. So to your point, she may not be the nominee come November or come August or whatever.
Yeah, I know. And Obama's reluctance to endorse her in the first week or so spoke volumes. Right? I mean, he put her in there with Biden. And so the fact that he didn't want her in there and, you know, and so, yeah, just keep your eyes wide open. It's hard to figure out the major powers, right? They just want a placeholder, right? They want a puppet. And so Biden fulfilled that function. I think it's so bad with Kamala that I'm not sure they even think she may be able to fulfill the placeholder status just because she may goof up when she starts talking and reveal her preferences. And the American people are going to be shocked if they come out.
Congressman Dave, former Congressman Dave Brat, ladies and gentlemen, now at Liberty University and just one of the finest schools in America. Dave, I'm curious about the dad. He was and I've never heard this phrase before, a Marxist economist at Stanford University back in the day. I do wonder how much influence, and I had this conversation with our last guest, what sort of influence he might have had on his daughter and her current belief system.
Well, that's right, and I shouldn't giggle after Marxist, but it's we can't get that issue through, right? The border invasion is a very serious issue. The debt we're in, wait till the markets collapse. The American people are going to be very upset. And so you're right. What type of influence does a father have on the daughter? Everything. And he's a Marxist economist. And what does that mean? Well, the first thing we Christians think about is it means no God. And then you can get deeper from there. But Kamala, right, there's a piece out in the Washington Post today or somewhere, a big expose, maybe Axios, on how anti-Catholic Kamala Harris has been. It gave five major bullet points on a page each with evidence, and it's grotesque. And then you see the leftist Olympic setup where the Lord's Supper mocked and just all sorts of debauchery and whatever. And it really is just stunning. The Marxist piece really just stands for deconstruction, right? They want to deconstruct our institutions that made us the greatest country in the world because we stick out like a sore thumb as Americans, right? The rest of the world, when they sent out the anthropologists and the sociologists 100 years ago looking for, you know, Rousseau's noble savage, right? This good, innocent human being in the native, they came back shocked. They said, oh, my God, I have to admit, Americans are better than the beasts.
Wow.
And you know, it's just that's the Marxists. They're out there looking for a dream fantasy instead of organizing society on the basis we know to be true, that human nature is fallen. But we're redeemable, right? We can make each other better. You know, and that's what the church and community is supposed to do. We're not a bunch of saints. The Christians, unfortunately, are all screwed up now, too. They're all acting like they're holier than thou too much. And instead of just saying the basic John the Baptist Jesus message, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And if we had that tone toward our neighbors, it might be spreading a little more than it is right now.
It reminds me of the old Southern gospel song, Dave Pratt. If John the Baptist used the King James Version, it's good enough for me.
That's correct. He came, right? Proclaiming the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. Not that we're all saints. It's the basic message is clear.
You've got me going now. There's another great Southern gospel song. I thank God for the preacher who scared the hell out of me.
Yes, back when I was a kid, we just went to some Presbyterian. They're like the low flame, right? The flame's not even on high. And I was like, how does this preacher know all this stuff about me?
Wow.
Everything he's saying. I'm guilty of everything, you know?
It's true.
I was like, and that made me a better person. But now you go and the preacher says, you know, you want to go grab a Starbucks latte together and, you know, talk about how good we all are? I mean, it's just, it's bad.
It's true. It's not your fault. It's, you know.
I'm working.
Jeez,
I'm working.
All right, Dave Pratt. Dave, always good hearing from you.
You too, Todd. You're great. Keep it up, man.
All right, you too now. Dave Pratt, everybody. Liberty University. And, of course, we love our friends at Liberty, liberty.edu. You know, a lot of you folks trying to ramp up your degrees or whatnot, go check them out. They have one of the best online degree programs in the world over at Liberty University, liberty.edu. All right, as promised, I want to go to the phone lines here, and we're going to work through this 901-260-5926. All right, let's go to David in Maine, WLOB. And David, I understand my call screener tells me you were actually in that platform meeting. Is that right?
That's correct. I was part of the platform committee.
All right. Well, Dave, all right. Well, give us some insight here.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, there was about 108 of us, I think, that were chosen to be on the platform committee by Trump. And the interesting part about it was how many people in that room were all for what we did. There was a handful of people, but it made it, when you said it, Todd, that there's people that were upset. And there was just a couple of people in that room that really were upset. And Tony Perkins was one of them. I attended his Family Research Institute meeting the night before the platform meeting. I wanted to understand what he was trying to do and make sure that, you know, I'm a right to life guy. I believe in marriage between a man and a woman. But, you know, the bottom line is that these battles, you know, have been fought, and I think in many cases have been won. And what we have to, what the platform did that Trump did, and I'll tell you what, it's a very short platform, and I'm sure you've read it, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, if you read it, it's simple and it's clean. And this is what I'm going to do. And you know, yes, he took some language out that upset Tony and his crowd. There was probably five or six of them that were really, really upset. But for the most part, every person in that room voted and votes were counted. And it was only a handful of people who abstained from or refused or voted against it. So, you know, I think it's really important for us to win this election. And I think that was what Trump did when he designed this platform. He made this platform so that every single living man, woman, and child could read it, understand it, and agree upon it. And he chose his battles wisely. You know, and I look, you and I have met. You probably don't remember because you came here. I co-host the show with Ray sometimes, and you had just come out with one of your books, and you were here for Ray. But, you know, and I like your show, but to promote any type of division at this point is not going to help us win. We are all one. We all left that room. There's a couple people mad. Tony Perkins, one of them. All right. But, you know, we left that platform committee arm to arm. We went to the convention. I was a delegate at the convention, and we were all arm to arm, and we have to unify. And if we're going to win, we have to stay together. And so any negative conversations about things that went on, you know, it was settled. It was voted on. The majority, the vast majority of the people supported the platform as it was written. And now we have to go to November 5th and we got to win this election. So I heard you talking about it, and it's like, I got to call because, you know, really, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't hell, brimfire flying around that road. It was, I think there was three people that really, you know, jumped out, and Tony being one of them, and tried to, you know, inject whatever they wanted to get put back in. But it was over. Everyone voted against it, and you know how it works, Robert's Rules. And we all just agreed.
Did Robert's Rules actually take place? Because you guys actually, for the first time in the history of the platform, said absolutely no media is allowed. Not a single person's allowed to take this out of this room to look at it. Locked doors. That was it. So so Robert's Rules was
there was a whole audience in the back of people that were guests on top of us that were chosen to be on the platform committee. The Robert's Rules were followed, and
that's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, David, let me say this. Let me say this real quick, and I'll let you finish your thought here. I'm not a yes guy. I've never been a yes man. And the problem is that I think there are a lot of people in Trump's circle that are just yes men. And I love this president. I love this man. And I want him to win. And sometimes you need to be able to say, you know what, Mr. President, maybe we don't need to alienate this group of people. We need these people to win. And some people are just so afraid of saying anything because, you know, they want to be close to the circle of power. Look, I've been close. I've been shoved out. I've been close, been shoved out again. But I'm always going to speak my mind here, David. And again, when you've got the campaign putting out a statement basically saying you blank with us, it will not end well for you, because that's the message here. That's the message coming out of the campaign, not Todd Stearns. It's the message coming out of the campaign.
Well, you know, it has been printed, and maybe there's some people who feel that way. But I'll tell you, Todd, I was in that room. I know what I felt. Marsha Blackburn did an incredible job. Ambassador Evans, the Green Beret congressman, I forget his name. But everyone worked hard, and it was great. It was done the right way. The convention was one of the best I've ever attended. And I just think we got to join arms, and we got to work together, and we got to get President Trump elected. Whatever happens,
yes,
we have no choice. We're not going to change it. We have to win.
And in the aftermath of all of this, I want to know, and I hope somebody does the survey, I want to know how many new voters did we pick up as a result of making all of these changes? That's what I would like to know. And we won't be able to know the answer to that until after Election Day, but I think somebody does need to do a deep dive and say, okay, we picked up this many voters because we removed all of this stuff that's been traditionally in the platform.
And maybe we picked up some, who knows, and I hope we didn't lose any, because what? Every single person in that room believes in God. Every single person in that room believes in the right to life, and every person in that room believes that a marriage is between a man and a woman. So the bottom line is we need to stick together, all right? We have to work together, and we have to stop the infighting. Or otherwise, we're going to self-destruct like we have. Haven't you seen it so many times? Let's work together. Let's get President Trump elected, and let's move forward, and let's move our country forward.
All right, David, appreciate the call and the intel. Hang tight, folks. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, President Trump still has not taken the stage, so we'll dip into those that conversation whenever it happens. Also, the president speaking tonight, 6 o'clock Eastern in Harrisburg, PA. This is a big outdoor event. This will be the first outdoor rally the president's had since the shooting. So there is a huge, huge crowd on hand. Let's go to the phone lines here. Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Hey, just a couple things to shoot by you. I sure hope in the down ballot races, I know it's going to be hard for with all the media covering for Kamala, but she's turned into a chameleon, and I'm hoping that in the Senate races, the other Senate congressional races, that the people are questioned and asked about her changing over on oil, coal, natural gas, and everything has changed with her. I mean, she's not in favor of buyback on ARs. She's not. She switched her point on health care, immigration. The coal, now she's for fracking. So I'm hoping that people can get other in their discussions with the other Democrats, they can hold them and see if they're going to be excited about taking some of Kamala's new points that she's making. And with the media covering for her, nobody holds her to question.
No, it's a Kamala Harris love fest right now, Gary. But the American people, I think, are smart, and they're going to see through a lot of this. But you're right, and that's why I just think the campaign needs to focus on the policies. This woman is changing her position on every single policy that she's held. I believe that she is truly a radical leftist beyond that of Barack Obama. And I think that's what we're really getting here, Gary. And that is a danger to the country. And Trump and J.D. Vance are right to point all of that out. Gary, I got to run. Great call. Hang tight, everybody. We're going right back to your calls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
There is a crazy story out of Keller, Texas, and this one is bonkers. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy for you to join us this hour of the show. I want to share this with you from Keller High School. This is the Keller Independent School District. And apparently they let the kids, high school seniors, for $200, they get their own private parking space, and they can actually decorate their parking space with some sort of artwork. Well, a couple of the kids decorated their parking spaces in honor of President Donald J. Trump. And here's what happened.
She painted some surfboards.
It's tradition at Keller ISD. Seniors pay to reserve and paint a parking space.
Hawaii is our favorite spot for vacation.
Tanya Cottongame came to see her daughter's, which was painted last week. But a few spaces down, controversy. Two students asked to paint over their works of art, their parents tell us. One a portrait of former President Donald Trump. Another reading 45/47. Trump, our 45th president. Whoever wins this November will be our 47th.
It's not offensive, bad words, or things like that.
The district has guidelines for what students can paint. Use only appropriate words, symbols, and images. KHS has the right to paint over and resell spaces that include content determined to be inappropriate by the administration. And that includes things that are controversial, offensive, obscene. Nothing political is expressly mentioned. The district telling us they did ask for some spots to be repainted because they had the potential to cause unnecessary distractions to the learning environment. And that, yes, political messaging isn't allowed. The spot with Trump's portrait already painted over.
A few years ago, a student in Louisiana actually dealt with this exact same issue. A school parking space, Trump is in it, asked to remove it. They sued and took their case of freedom of speech to federal court.
A federal judge ruling in favor of that student. We asked the district if they knew about that case, but they didn't speak to it.
Their first instinct was probably, we don't want fights in the parking lot. We don't want people vandalizing this.
Lainey Hawes, an outspoken Keller ISD parent.
Keller ISD has been a hotbed for political controversy, and I think a lot of the administrators and teachers just want to focus on teaching.
Hawes, not a Trump supporter, and has stood up to policies being pushed by newly elected right-leaning board members.
And I'm a strong proponent of, hey, if this is what you believe, then say it.
She doesn't think this is controversial or inappropriate.
All right, there you go. It seems to me that you've got a bunch of school administrators that are infected with Trump derangement syndrome. I want to bring in our good friend, Robin Poffman, our national correspondent. Robin, hope you're doing well today.
I'm fine. You know, there's no vaccine for that.
No, it's a terminal illness, Robin, and it's really sad. But, yeah, I mean, I feel for the kids. First of all, I'm not sure back in the 1980s I would have plopped down $200 for a parking spot. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the 21st century. But we've got a picture, by the way, folks. We have a picture of the artwork on our website, and you can see it for yourself. Take a look at it and see if it's offensive. I found nothing offensive at all with it, Robin.
No, it's fine. You know, Trump derangement syndrome, there is no cure. There's no vaccine. You can wear your mask. You cannot wear your mask, but you can't get away from it. These people have a mental block. I've been going back and forth on social media with someone who just absolutely hates Donald Trump. And you, when you drill down, they can't tell you why. It's the most bizarre thing, Todd.
Robin, yesterday in Atlanta, your neck of the woods, Kamala Harris showed up, and this was black Kamala, contrary to you have white Kamala and you have South Asian Kamala. But Kamala Harris showed up, did the whole fake black voice thing, and they say it was a huge turnout. What are folks saying there in Atlanta?
Yeah, there were 10,000 people here that went to this thing. And, you know, they're treating her like the female Barack Obama. But, you know, she's not the female Barack Obama. I remember seeing Barack Obama back in 2008 in New Hampshire on a very cold and snowy and icy night. And, you know, I was like, who is this Barack Hussein Obama guy? And then when I got into the arena in New Hampshire back in the day when you and I were both working at Fox News Radio, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's going to be like five people here. But the whole place, you know, another 10,000 seat stadium on a bitter cold night in New Hampshire. And I just remember looking at him and hearing him and interviewing the people there. And I would say that 90% of the people were white and they all loved him. And, you know, he was, you know, endorsed by Oprah back in the day. You know, this is the best cookie and it's under your chair, so whatever she would endorse, you know, was the it thing, and he was the it guy. And he had this very suave and smooth kind of character. You know, he has that Bill Clinton kind of thing, right? You're the only person in the room. She does not have that. I don't care, she could live to 200, she could be with every consultant in this country. And I'm telling you, during the debate, if she ever gets to debate Donald Trump, she's going to fall flat on her face because she's not an ad libber. So everything's going to be robotic and memorized. But, you know, it's like the new toy on Christmas, Todd. You know, she's shiny and new. And the people that are supporting her, they don't know anything about her, her San Francisco values, her stance on the wide open globalist border. They don't know her backstory socially and what she was up to back in the day and how she had this meteoric climb to success and, you know, her methods of going about that.
Oh, Robin. And Robin, hold on now. Hold on. But we have some audio here from our good friend, Memphis native Judge Joe Brown. And we had to clean up a little bit of it for the radio, but Judge Brown's got the inside dirt on Kamala. Let's listen.
But I got to ask you about Kamala Harris. How you feel about her?
She's a piece of. I was in California. She lacked professional competence, and she worked on it by hiking up her hemline when she needed influence rather than researching. She's always tried to do the casting couch to get where she wants. Now, the problem is that'll get somebody to a certain level quickly, but you can't get past that level if you don't have competence and talent. So my thing about it is if I'm crude about it, in this city years ago, I used to represent a whole bunch of pimps and hoes, and I know a hoe when I see one.
All right, there you go, Robin. That's just cut right to the chase, Judge.
Beautifully put.
Got right to the chase. But to your point, I know people, they like to talk about that part of it. But I think the laugh, the cackle, I think it's masking a very mean and nasty person. And we know that because I think 92% of her staff during her tenure as VP have left the job. So something's not right there.
Well, she's a really insecure person. You know, it goes back to Hillary Clinton and the irritating laugh. If you know, speaking as a woman, if you're secure with yourself, you don't have to like have that default button of the weird cackle. You naturally laugh when there's a pause or something is funny. The problem with her cackle is that it's forced, and it's her, like, you know, when people go, it's like her default button. And the default is that there's no meat on the bone. There's no there. She doesn't know what to say. She can't ad lib. She's not an intellectual. She's not good with conversation. I mean, I could go on and on. It's all fake. It's all fake. I still think in the end something could happen, and I don't know how they get her out of the way, or she's going to have some sort of problem, or I'm not sure what. I still was betting on Gavin Newsom for this position. He's been mysteriously quiet out there in California, him and his slick hair, and he's probably out buying some hair gel, Todd. And haven't really heard too much from Mr. Gavin. We've heard from Gretchen Whitmer. We've heard from the Pennsylvania governor, Shapiro. Doesn't it bother you that he's been so quiet for him, for someone who has so much to say? He's been so quiet.
It's very strange. Look, I'm with you. I go back. We were talking with Dave Bratt from Liberty University a few minutes ago about the Seymour Hersh article. He did the deep dive. And they reportedly told Kamala that if her numbers are not looking good, she's out. So I still think that there's going to be somebody else, and I would not put it past her. Look, people are saying Michelle Obama. I do think it's going to be either Michelle or maybe Hillary Clinton.
Oh, really? I'm still betting on good old slick Gavin.
He's white. Robin, I hear you, but. You think they're going to go with a white guy this party?
They've got one there right now. They've got the white guy right now.
Well, that's true. That's a fair point. The party is so radicalized. You know, they had CNN. They were asking Kathy Hochul earlier today, "Hey, do you have a problem with the fact that all the VP candidates are white guys?" So. I don't
know.
What'd
she say?
She said, no, we love our white people. No, I don't know what she is. Something like that.
I mean,
that.
The whole thing is just, you know what? Can we just go back to basic common sense and the most qualified person, white, black, green, man from Mars, Martian, dinosaur, I don't care who you are, where you're from, just be the most, I want the most qualified person doing my operation, the most qualified person changing my oil, and the most qualified person being president of the United States. Enough.
Robin, I've got to get your take on this. By the way, we got the gang back together on Newsmax last night. I was guest hosting, and Bill O'Reilly was my guest at the 8 o'clock hour. It was,
oh, wow.
It was back in the day. But anyway, I asked O'Reilly about the White Dudes for Harris Zoom call. There was a lot of estrogen on that call, Robin. you remember President Obama's pajama boy? Remember pajama boy with the footy pajamas and the hot cocoa? The guys on that Zoom call made him look like Hulk Hogan. I mean, these guys were like out there.
It's ridiculous.
You know, again, the Democrat Party literally segregating their voters by race and gender. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable.
I would just wrap it up with this, that Trump and Vance are supposed to be in the same venue that Kamala Harris was, and it's last night, and they're supposed to be here on Saturday, and I was going to go, but then I'm not going, and who knows where I'll end up, but... I don't know. Just the whole thing is just not sitting right with me. I can't explain it to you any other way. I'm very nervous for the president, former president.
You think they're going to try something again?
You know, I hate to say things like that, but I just have a sick feeling in my gut. We've got so much going on internationally, and I think we have a lot of people that are asleep at the wheel. And I was very disappointed, Todd. I'll end on this. I was very disappointed with this acting Secret Service guy. I watched all the testimony yesterday. I'm like, nobody is in charge. We've got all these incompetents. And then you hear Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary. He sounds so weak. He sounds like he's on his last breath. Mentally and physically, Blinken, our Secretary of State, totally weak. Everybody in the administration, the money lady, she's weak. I mean, I could go yelling. I could go on and on. Every one of them, you go click right down the list. one is weaker than the next. Nobody is in charge, Todd.
No, they're not. And we are on the verge of a major, major situation in the Middle East, especially with the assassination of the Hamas leader. And I'm telling you, Robin, we are on the verge of something here. We are. And so I think you're right to be concerned. And there are a lot of people on Capitol Hill that are concerned, too.
Yeah, I just have this terrible feeling in my gut. And again, you know, I come to the party. I come to the table having been literally there in the 93 World Trade Center radical Islamic terrorist bombing, was there on 9/11. This is the same crew. They are ruthless. They never forget, and they are laser beam focused, and they want this to be a Muslim country and institute radical Islamic law and Sharia law here. People do not understand what this is all about. The average person, Todd, your listeners know, but the average person doesn't understand the level of this and what we're facing, the ideology we're facing.
Robin, we've got to leave it there. Always appreciate your great insight. Just absolutely insanity right now in the world of politics. And we're gonna try to unravel and make sense of it all every day on this show. Robin, God bless.
You too. Have eyes behind your head.
All right. Watch your six. Robin Poffman, everybody. Great lady. And she's right. Can we not get to the point? Can we not get to a point in this country where we're just hiring the best people for the job, no matter their skin color, no matter what their sex is? Can we just do that? All right, we're going to take a break. Going to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
People did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically, black colleges and universities were out of money. They were stone cold broke. And I saved them and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late. Just so we understand, I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love
I think
you
it's
to
a
answer
very
the question
nasty
on your
question.
Rhetoric and why
well,
you believe
I have answered
that black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President
All right.
Johnson.
Let me stop there. And we're going to have more of this. These journalists are trying to lynch Donald Trump. That's what they're trying. And he's not having any of it. Let me tell you something. If this had been a black presidential candidate in front of white journalists and they treated him with that sort of disrespect, it would be national news right now. I got more to say about this coming up. We'll be right back.
lot of questions here. Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity,
it?
Equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a definition the
then. Would you give me a definition
DEI.
Of that? Give me a definition.
Sir,
of
I'm asking you a question.
No,
a
you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
I
would.
Just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a Black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black, and now she wants to be known as Black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she Black?
She has always identified as a Black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically Black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a Black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you believe
think,
that she is...
I think somebody should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
Wow. Good for you, Donald Trump. President Trump is in a hostile environment, and he is crushing it right now, and he is firing back on all cylinders. He said that he didn't know she... Wow. All right, we're going to be taking your calls here. Is President Trump striking the right tone with the National Association of Black Journalists, which, quite frankly, needs to be renamed the National Association of Black Propagandists? They're meeting in Chicago, and Trump right now is having none of it. None of it. They're trying to lynch the guy. That's what they're trying to do. And Trump says, I'm not going to let you do that today. No, we're not going to do that. You bring me here under false pretense, we're going to have... And God love him, the man showed up. Kamala Harris didn't even have the lady parts to show up. All right, 901-260-5926. We're going to be pulling more audio from this. That's 901-260-5926. You got to love Trump. Let's go to Jamal in North Carolina, WSJS, our great affiliate there. Hi, Jamal, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Sure. Happy to do it.
I wanted to comment on the last caller who was talking about the platform and having to make adjustments. I've called before and mentioned I used to be a part of the Democratic Party. The reason why I mentioned that is I left them to come to something that was supposed to be completely different. And the abortion issue was one of the issues that drew me to the Conservative Party. I'm pro-life all the way for marriage between a man and a woman. I'm definitely for promoting Christian values. So when I hear that the party is removing some of those items, I'm sitting here wondering, well, how much different are we than the Democratic Party? Yeah, we can sit here and say what our values are, but I mean, how much are they if we don't put them on paper? Like the Founding Fathers, they could mention how much they don't like the king or they want to. But one of the reasons why John Hancock's signature was so big because he wanted people to know what he thought. He wanted it on paper. And I believe we can win with those principles.
Jamal, I do too. And it is a very fair question you're asking here. And I would open it up to our listeners. What are the differences? I mean, if you're going to take the culture issues off of the table and say, you know what, we're not going to be standing for those anymore. We're pushing those to the side. What is the difference? I mean, and it's fair because the Republican Party, and we know I can say this beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Republican Party spends as much money as the Democrats do. The Republican Party, they have supported open borders for a very long time. Donald Trump is the anomaly. He's really not a Republican. He's a populist. He's just using the Republican Party right now to advance an America First agenda, which I 1,000% support. But it's a fair question you asked, Jamal, and ultimately somebody's going to need to be able to answer that question for you.
Yes, sir. And listening to your show and other shows like yours, to where they have no problem merging the Bible and the Constitution, I don't think you have a better form of government on the planet. Now, you know, the two documents, the Bible and Constitution, you have a separate document. But I think Benjamin Franklin or Madison, one of those guys, said you cannot run this country without having Christianity infused into it. So thank you for your show. God bless you. And I'll listen to the rest of the show off the air.
All right, Jamal, thank you very much for calling in, and I appreciate that. And look, I mean, there Jamal is 1,000% right here. And, you know, at some point you have to ask yourself, okay, wait, what are the differences between the parties? Right now, I'll tell you the differences. You've got a radical Marxist running, and then you've got Donald Trump, America First guy. I'm going with the America First guy. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Rachel Scott from ABC is the one. She, man, you can just tell the sniveling hate, the derision, condescending attitude coming out of her. I mean, that's disgusting. And God bless Donald Trump for just sitting up there, and he is fighting back. Well, sir, I know what DEI means. What's the definition? Well, I'm not going to give you the definition. Well, do you know what it means? Of course I do. Yeah, because you're a DEI high, darling. She's a low. Do we know if she's a DEI hire? I don't know. But I can tell you this. If she would have been one of my employees and you treat someone with that kind of that level of disrespect, you're out of here. You're looking for a new job. That was unprofessional what ABC's Rachel Scott just did. Unprofessional. All right. Let's go to Emery in Georgia. Hi, Emery. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I tell you what, good show, but I've never waited an hour and 8 minutes on anybody, but appreciate you. And I'm here in Gainesville, Georgia. Wanted to comment on a couple things there, and you're right. If anybody else had asked questions to Biden or Harris like that, they would have been ridiculed. Point number one, we have not seen anything about the statues being painted, going over video, going back and arresting people like we have January 6th. Point number two, the gentleman from Liberty, I enjoyed his view. I disagree with a couple and just wanted to kind of reach out there. The platform that Biden was elected on was simple. Don't answer any questions. Don't show up. 3.5 years, he has kept that agenda. He answers one or two every once in a while. Then he goes back to the basement. When he answers, that's always a loaded question that he knows the answer to. And that's what Kamala, the playbook is for her to not go on record. And anything that she answers can't be held against her if she doesn't answer it. And the third part is Trump does not need to go into a debate until she's officially announced as the president, because there's no need for that record, even though he would wipe her up. And the last one is basically, I am 100% Trump. I was with him a month ago in Faith and Freedom when you were up there. And the biggest thing is he's got to stop name calling, and he's got to get where these women that are so, they wear everything on their shoulder. They've got to get to the point to where it's a little more presidential. Stop name calling, and maybe some of these people will come around. But I am for Trump 100%, and we need him in office.
Yeah, I'm with you, Emery, and I appreciate the call. And we've just had a lot of calls today and a lot of stuff going on, but we greatly appreciate you holding on. And I think there's a lot of truth to what Emery has to say. President Trump. So now the president is weighing in on Kamala Harris, saying she was always of Indian heritage. And by the way, she was asked about this, or he was asked about this, right? So it's not like Trump was bringing this up. But I love that Trump is Trump. Trump should have showed up with Judge Joe Brown. That would have triggered everybody in the audience. Anyway, good for you, Mr. President. We are monitoring this. This is insane. And a lot of people are upset here. They're saying, oh, Trump's too forceful. No. You've got it. Trump is in the middle of a war zone right now. and he is fighting his way. This man is a fighter. He's not going to sit there and allow some chick from ABC News to accuse him of being a racist. And that's right out of the gate. And we're going to play that full. You know what? Let's go back. Let's play the long form. I want you to hear this is how it all started. It's not even like, Mr. President, welcome and thank you for being the only candidate to accept our invitation. The so-called black candidate didn't even bother to show up, Mr. President, but you're here. A white man, a Caucasian. God bless you. None of that. None of that. Here's how it went down.
People did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims.
Can we stop for a second? That is the most racist thing I've ever heard in my life. Who says that? Who says that? Who in that audience believes that Donald Trump should not be in that in front of that audience? Whoever that, those people are, they are racist. My apologies. Let's continue.
Appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country. Including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late. Just so we understand, I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love
I think
you
it's
can
a
answer
very
the question
nasty
on your
question.
Rhetoric
well,
and why
I,
you believe
I have answered
black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson who signed
answer.
The Voting Rights
and
Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
Let me just ask a follow-up, sir.
All right. So, by the way, that little LBJ crack at the end, President Lyndon Johnson and the voting rights and the civil rights, the only reason Johnson did that, ladies and gentlemen, and you can go back and read the exact direct quote in your history book. You can Google it. We're not even allowed to repeat the words Johnson uttered on the radio. But Johnson said he did everything to make sure that blacks in America would never leave the Democrat Party. And you can Google it and you can see the exact language that that man said. The nasty, filthy, vile language that came out of that man's mouth. Anyway, good for you, Mr. President. You keep fighting. And I'm telling you, he is not scared of anybody. The man got shot in the head. You think he's really going to be triggered by a bunch of radical activist propagandists? I don't think so. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and I am going to have more information on and some more analysis on President Trump's appearance at the National Association of Black Journalists coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, so be sure to watch that tonight. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We're going to have a terrific show for you, and folks, I just call it like I see it, and let me say something about about today's show. And there have been other moments when I have been critical of things that the Trump campaign is up to. Donald Trump is not responsible for every single thing that happens in his campaign. That's just not how campaigns work. There are a lot of things that are going on that he knows nothing about. And I'm fairly certain he doesn't know anything about Project 2025 and has not read Project 2025, which is what, 900 pages long. But just because yours truly, the host of this program, is out there pointing out some things that need to be fixed doesn't mean that I'm hurting the campaign or that I am anti-Trump or I'm a closet Democrat. And anybody who accuses yours truly of being a closet Democrat, you get blocked on our social media. I'm sorry, you're too ignorant to be a part of what we do here. But I want to say something, and I'll give you a great example of this, all right? Let's just say you've got Trump Force One, the Trump plane, and one of the engines is on fire. And I point out, folks, there's an engine on fire on Trump's plane. You Trump hater, how dare you? How dare you criticize? I'm just warning folks so they can put out the fire. That's all I'm trying to do here. So anyway, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax. By the way, President Trump is a big, big fan of Newsmax, and one of the reasons why is because we cover all of his rallies, and the best part of our coverage is when we start, we don't stop until it's over, and when President Trump speaks, we don't interrupt, we don't take commercial breaks. You get to watch the entire speech, and I know Trump appreciates that. I know you do, too. I will be anchoring our coverage of Trump's Atlanta rally coming up this weekend. Newsmax, now one of the fastest growing cable channels in America, and you can watch Newsmax on cable streaming or our free Newsmax app. By the way, we are also in the process of going public, and for a limited time, if you are an eligible investor, this is pretty cool. You can buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. You can get information at NewsmaxInvest.com. Again, that's NewsmaxInvest.com. And be sure to check out all the information there. And also, as always, be sure to check in with your financial advisor, your investors, your attorney. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up. It has been a wild day. We're going to break it all down again, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax. Tomorrow, noon to 3 Eastern. In the meantime, you folks head over and be sure to get our newsletter and our podcast, all of our free resources just for you, America First Conservatives. Be good, America.